The Mysteries in God's New Testament Economy, Chapter 1, The Mystery of God, Christ. Outline, Roman numeral 1. Christ being the mysterious word of God in eternity past, John 1:1. A. The divine thought constituting the expression to be the word that can be comprehended by man. B. Presenting and explaining the mysterious being of God. Roman 2. The invisible word of God becoming visible flesh. John 1, verse 14. A. The mysterious God being conceived of his spirit and begotten in the womb of a human virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. B. Then, from the virgin's womb, being born with humanity to be the mysterious God-man, in whom both divinity and humanity are mingled, and who is called Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1, verse 23. C. Putting on human flesh. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14a. D. Bringing his mysterious divinity into humanity. E. The mysterious fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily in this mysterious God-man. Colossians 2:9. Roman 3. This mysterious God-man, passing through human living in his humanity with his mysterious divinity. A. Experiencing the sufferings of human life. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, chapter 4, verse 15. B. Expressing the divine virtues in his humanity by the mysterious attributes of God. Luke chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. Roman numeral 4. This mysterious God-man being crucified in his humanity with his mysterious divinity, dying an all-inclusive, mysterious death, thus accomplishing the eternal redemption of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. A. As the mysterious Lamb taking away the sin of man. John 1, 29. B. As a mysterious man of flesh, condemning sin in the likeness of the flesh of sin, that is, in the form of fallen man, and dealing with the flesh of sin. Romans 8, 3. C. As the mysterious last Adam, terminating the man of the old creation. Romans 6, 6. D. As the mysterious firstborn of all creation in the old creation, terminating the entire old creation, and reconciling all the creation of God. Colossians 1, 15, and 20. E. As the mysterious bronze serpent, bruising the ancient serpent and destroying Satan and his world. Genesis 3:15, Hebrews 2:14, and John 12:31. F. As the mysterious peacemaker, abolishing all the separating ordinances in the law, including all the different kinds of living, customs, and habits that cause divisions among mankind, through his mysterious death, thus making peace for all his Jewish and Gentile believers. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. G. As a mysterious grain of wheat, releasing the divine life in him, through his death, thus making us many grains of wheat of life like him. John 12:24. Roman 5. This mysterious God-man who was crucified, being resurrected from the dead with his crucified humanity by his eternal and immortal divinity. Acts 2 verses 23 through 24. And chapter 3, verse 15. A. bringing the humanity that he had put on into his mysterious divinity. B, as the mysterious only begotten Son of God, in his mysterious resurrection, being begotten with his humanity as the Son of Man, to be the mysterious firstborn Son of God. Acts 13:33, Romans 8:29. C, causing all his believers to be resurrected with him and to be brought forth as the sons of God to be his brothers, who constitute the Church of God. 1 Peter 1:3, Romans 8:19, Hebrews 2:11-12. D, as the mysterious last Adam, becoming the life-giving spirit in his mysterious resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:45b. Romans 6. This mysterious God-man, in his mysterious resurrection, ascending to the height with all the ones whom he resurrected. Ephesians 4:8a and 2:6. A, offering to God the ones whom he resurrected, God giving them back to him, and he giving them as gifts to the church. Ephesians 4:8b. B, mysteriously filling all in all. Ephesians 4:10. And Ephesians 1:23. C, mysteriously sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3b. D, mysteriously enthroned and crowned with glory and honor. Revelation 3:21, Hebrews 2:9. D, 1, glory, the splendor into which Christ's person with divinity and humanity entered. D, 2, honor, the preciousness that the worth of Christ attained and the dignity that the position of Christ reached. E, mysteriously being head over all things. Ephesians 1:22. E1, all things being subjected under his feet. E2, being head over all things to the church. F, mysteriously being Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. F1, being Lord, Christ in his divinity with his humanity, being Lord of all men and all things. Acts 10:36. F2, being Christ, Christ being anointed by God to accomplish God's eternal economy. G, mysteriously being a leader, ruler, and savior. Acts 5:31. G1, being the ruler of all the kings of the earth and arranging the world situation. Revelation 1:5. G2, in order to be the savior of all kinds of men. H, in such a mysterious ascension, pouring out himself, the one who had entered into glory and attained to honor, as the consummated, essential, and economical compound spirit, upon all his believers, baptizing them into his mysterious body, the Church of God. Acts 2:17-18, 1 Corinthians 12:13. I, mysteriously being the surety of the better covenant, the new covenant, Hebrews 7:22. J, mysteriously being the mediator, the executor of the new covenant as a testament, Hebrews 9:15. K, mysteriously being the minister of the true tabernacle in the heavens, ministering heaven into us. Hebrews 8:1-2. L. Mysteriously being our advocate with the Father, pleading for us. 1 John 2:1b. M. Mysteriously being the high priest, interceding for us and saving us to the uttermost. Hebrews 4:14-16 and chapter 7:25-26. N. Mysteriously being the Son of Man as the high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstand, the churches. Revelation 1:13-16, chapter 2:1. O, heaven retaining him until he comes to be the bridegroom to marry his bride, his overcomers, and to set up his kingdom and reign with his overcomers. Acts 3:21, Revelation 19:7-9, chapter 11:15, chapter 20:4-6. P. Being the mysterious Lamb of God as the center of the New Jerusalem in eternity. Revelation 22:1-3. Prayer. Lord, we worship you again. Under your sovereignty, you have arranged all the circumstances so that we can sanctify this precious time to gather together before you, and even to enter into you through, by, and around your word. Lord, we still feel that we are defiled and unclean. In many areas, we are still in the old creation and the natural realm. We need the cleansing of your redeeming blood once again. Lord Jesus, grant us the rich anointing and to anoint us in every way so that we would truly have your presence within. Lord, at this time, while you speak, be one spirit with us. Lord, speak through our speaking. Grant us the utterance and the words of life, the words with your riches, so that what we speak becomes the release of yourself and your dispensing. Lord, cover our whole being and anoint our whole being, that everyone would be blessed, receive grace, and receive the heavenly riches from your hands. Lord, vindicate your way once more. Release your word and open up yourself in a rich way before us so that we would enjoy your rich supply. Amen. The New Testament Economy and Mystery. The main subject of our meetings this time is the mysteries in God's New Testament economy. Here we have three very crucial terms. The first is the one that we are most familiar with, the New Testament. Regrettably, many crucial terms in the Bible have been made common by Christians through their usage. As a result, they have lost their true meaning. When we mention the New Testament, many do not have too much feeling for it and do not pay attention to it. In 1931, Brother Watchman Nee called together a special conference and talked specifically about the matter of the New Testament. Most of those messages were printed in his magazine, The Present Testimony. They were very valuable messages. Later, the Gospel Book Room published a book called The New Covenant. The first half of that book contains messages by Brother Nee on the principles of the New Testament. The second half of that book contains messages that I released in 1948 in Shanghai concerning the practice. From that time until now, in our literature and messages, we have not touched the matter of the New Testament again. But whether or not we understand it, and no matter how much or how little we comprehend it, in the universe and also in human culture, there is such a noble thing as the New Testament. Another crucial term is economy. The term in Greek is oikonomia. Oikos means house, and nomos means law. The word means house law, household management, and household administration, and is extended in meaning to denote an administrative arrangement, plan, and economy. In one conference in Los Angeles in 1964, I first began using the word economy. 1 Timothy 1:4 and Ephesians 3:9 both use this word. The third term is mystery. In Ephesians 3:9, Paul speaks of what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. God had an Old Testament economy. In the Old Testament, he also has a New Testament economy in the New Testament. The Old Testament economy was based on the law of God. There was not much mystery in it. The New Testament economy is different. It is based completely on the mystery of God. Every point in God's New Testament economy is a mystery. We can say that the whole New Testament economy is a story of mystery. This mystery is based on God or on the triune God. The triune God is a mystery. There is no way for us to exhaust him. I have been speaking on the truth concerning the triune God for a few decades. I consider that I have spoken much, but in the end, I have to say that I still do not understand that much. The reason for this is that it is a mystery. It is not so accurate to say the Trinity or the three in one. The direct expression should be triune. This is not found in any earthly mathematics. We think that we know the doctrine of the triune God, but actually we still do not know that much. I feel that the more we work in the Lord's work, the more we feel that we cannot work. The more messages we give, the more we feel that we do not understand. We all have to admit that we are nothing and we can do nothing. Only God is the one who is. As for us, we are not. If we want to know about God, we first have to know about ourselves. We are nothing and the Lord is everything. All we can do is put ourselves in his hands. As long as he blesses, others will be fed and will have an overabundance. The mystery of God, Christ. Of all the mysteries in God's New Testament economy, the first of them is the mystery of God. The second half of Colossians 2:2 says, "The mystery of God, Christ." We can see that Jesus Christ is a mystery. He is not simple at all. I do not believe that we have exhausted all that the Bible speaks concerning him. I believe that we have only covered a part. There are still many things that we do not understand. In spite of that, when we come together to fellowship and to talk about them, we will gradually be brought into understanding them. Concerning God's mystery, Christ, I have listed 6 points. First, Christ is the mysterious Word of God. Second, the Word became flesh. Third, he passed through human living. Fourth, he was crucified. Fifth, he resurrected. Sixth, he ascended. All these items that Christ has passed through are the mystery of God. Christ is the Word of God, and the Word is God himself. As the Word becoming flesh, God became flesh and stayed with us. His living was God's living. When men saw him, they saw God. Then he died in the flesh and resurrected. He lived in his death. He was the grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died to produce many grains. He died and he lived. He lives through his dying, for he is life and he is God. Finally, he ascended. Concerning Christ, we have these 6 points. The word of God, his becoming flesh, his passing through human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. Christ in these mysterious aspects is the mystery of God. Christ being the mysterious word of God. Now let us follow the outline to consider the various aspects of the mysterious Christ of God point by point. First, he is the mysterious word of God. In eternity past, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In eternity past, before time began, Christ was the Word of God. It was divine thought that became constituted as an expression, which in turn became the Word that can be comprehended by man. The word here is logos in Greek. It means an expression constituted by a thought, which is understood by man. Although our God cannot be seen in the universe, he is the word that can be understood by man. By this word, his mysterious being is explained and expressed. The invisible word of God becoming visible flesh. Second, the invisible word of God became the visible flesh, which is Jesus Christ. His whole person is the embodiment of the word of God. This is why the first epistle of John begins with the word of life, which was there from the beginning and which was with the Father. It is that which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we beheld, and which we have handled with our own hands. By becoming the flesh, this word has become tangible and touchable. He is the mysterious God who was conceived of his spirit and begotten in the womb of a human virgin. Then, from this virgin's womb, he was born with humanity to be the mysterious God-man, in whom both divinity and humanity are mingled. Originally, he was the mysterious God in eternity. Through his spirit, he was first begotten in the virgin's womb. Then after conception, he was born with humanity as a God-man in whom divinity and humanity are mingled. What was conceived was God. What came out was the God-man. The baby Jesus that was in the manger was the mysterious God-man in whom both divinity and humanity are mingled as one. This Jesus is Jehovah the Savior. Men shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is Jehovah God as our Savior and is also God with us. When Christ became flesh, he put on human flesh and partook of all that man is. Through this, he brought his mysterious divinity into humanity. That is, he brought God into man. In this way, the mysterious fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in this mysterious God-man. What is in Christ, the mysterious God-man, is not only divinity, but also the fullness of the Godhead, which is the expression of the riches of all that God is. This mysterious God-man passing through human living. Third, this mysterious God-man passed through human living in his humanity with his mysterious divinity. When the Lord Jesus was living on earth, outwardly he was a man, a carpenter at home. Actually, it was God working in his humanity. This kind of realization has much to do with our living. Our living on earth today should be as that of the Lord Jesus, a living of divinity through humanity. We are not just human beings, we are God-men. We are those with God within us. When we live by Him, it makes us different. If we realize this matter, it will become more useful to us than if we understand many messages. Once the son of a king realizes his own status, he will become more dignified and will be different from others in his speech and conduct. Today, many Christians do not live like God-men because they are not clear about their status. Permit me to say that it is very difficult for me to lose my temper today because I cannot sell my status. I can never forget that I am a God-man. If I remember my status, I will never lose my temper or criticize others easily, thus losing my own status. The Lord Jesus never sold himself this way when he was on the earth. All the time, he was living a life with the dignified status of a God-man. Moreover, while the Lord was on earth, he experienced for us all the sufferings of human life. He was tried in all respects that he might be able to sympathize with our weaknesses and helped and rescue us. At the same time, he expressed the divine virtues in his humanity by the mysterious attributes of God. Today we should live in the same way on earth. We are no longer sinners. Rather, we are God-men. We should express the divine virtues in our humanity by God's mysterious attributes, such as love, light, holiness, righteousness, and power. This is the life of the Lord Jesus on earth. It is also the life that we should live today. What is expressed in our living should not merely be our virtuous acts, but should be the divine virtues of God expressed in our humanity. Our living should be filled with the mysterious attributes of God that express the divine virtues. This mysterious God-man being crucified to accomplish his all-inclusive death. Fourth, this mysterious God-man was crucified in his humanity with his mysterious divinity, dying an all-inclusive mysterious death, thus accomplishing the eternal redemption of God. When Christ, the God-man, was on the cross, he accomplished his all-inclusive death in seven statuses. First, as the mysterious Lamb, he took away the sin of man. Not only did he deal with the outward sins of man, but he also dealt with the nature of sin in man. Second, as the mysterious man of flesh, he condemned sin in the likeness of the flesh of sin, that is, in the form of fallen man, and dealt with the flesh of sin. Through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in the flesh, God judged sin together with the flesh in which sin dwells. Third, as the mysterious last Adam, he terminated the man of the old creation. The first Adam was the beginning of the human race. The last Adam is the termination of the human race. When Christ, as the last Adam, was crucified on the cross, the old man who was created by God and who became fallen because of sin, was terminated. Fourth, as the mysterious firstborn of all creation, in the old creation, he terminated the entire old creation and reconciled all the creation to God. Christ, as the firstborn of all creation, takes preeminence in all creation. When this Christ was crucified on the cross, the whole old creation was terminated so that all the creation of God could be reconciled to him. Fifth, as the mysterious bronze serpent, he bruised the ancient serpent and destroyed Satan and his world. Sixth, As the mysterious peacemaker, he abolished all the separating ordinances in the law, including all the different kinds of living, customs, and habits that cause divisions among mankind. Through his mysterious death, thus making peace for all his Jewish and Gentile believers. Seventh, as the mysterious grain of wheat, he released the divine life in him through his death, thus making us many grains of wheat of life, like him. This is the eternal redemption that Christ, the mysterious God-man, has accomplished through his all-inclusive death. This mysterious God-man, who was crucified, being resurrected from the dead. The fifth main point is that this mysterious God-man, who was crucified, was resurrected from the dead with his crucified humanity by his eternal and immortal divinity. The resurrection of Christ is truly a mystery. In his mysterious resurrection, he brought the humanity that he had put on into his mysterious divinity. When he became flesh, he brought divinity into humanity. When he resurrected from the dead, he brought humanity into divinity. This caused God and man to be mingled as one. Hence today, we are living in his divinity, and God is living in our humanity. God and we have the same life and the same living. Moreover, as the mysterious, only begotten Son of God, in his mysterious resurrection, he was begotten with his humanity as the Son of Man, to be the mysterious firstborn Son of God, causing all his believers to be resurrected with him and to be brought forth as the sons of God to be his brothers, who constitute the Church of God, which is his body. This is indeed a mysterious birth. Every one of us has a part in this birth. Furthermore, in Christ's mysterious resurrection, this last Adam has become the life-giving Spirit, and is now ready to be received by those who believe in him. Once we believe in him, this life-giving Spirit enters into our spirit and joins us to his Spirit, so that we become one Spirit with him. We must see this truth. This is the most important item in our Christian experience. Only by being the Spirit can he enter into us to be our life and our living. If Christ cannot live in us, salvation becomes objective. But now that Christ has become the life-giving Spirit in resurrection and is living in us, God's salvation becomes subjective to us. This mysterious God-man ascending to the height. The sixth point is that this mysterious God-man, in his mysterious resurrection, ascended to the height with all the ones whom he resurrected. This was accomplished in Christ's resurrection before we were born. We have to realize that we human beings are limited by time, but with God, there is no time element. With him, there are only the facts. With him, there is no element of time. After Christ resurrected, he brought all the ones whom he had resurrected, that is, the ones who believed in him, to the height. In his mysterious ascension, there are 16 items of what he has obtained and attained, what he is doing in this age, and what he will accomplish in the future. First, he offered to God the ones whom he resurrected. God, in turn, gave them back to him, and he gave them as gifts to the church. Second, he mysteriously fills all in all. Third, he mysteriously sat on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Fourth, he mysteriously was enthroned and crowned with glory and honor. Glory is the splendor into which Christ's person with divinity and humanity entered, and honor is the preciousness of that the worth of Christ attained and the dignity that the position of Christ reached. Fifth, he became mysteriously the head over all things, that all things may be subjected under his feet. All of this is to the church. Sixth, he became mysteriously the Lord and Christ. To be the Lord denotes Christ being Lord of all men and all things in his divinity with his humanity. To be Christ denotes Christ being anointed by God to accomplish God's eternal economy. Now this mysterious God-man is not only the Lord of all, but also the Christ of God, bearing the commission to fulfill God's eternal economy. Seventh, he became mysteriously the leader and savior. He is the ruler of all the kings of the earth for the arranging of the world situation in order that he can be the savior of all kinds of men. Eighth, in such a mysterious ascension, he poured out himself, the one who had entered into glory and attained honor as the consummated, essential, and economical compound spirit, upon all his believers, baptizing them into his mysterious body, the Church of God. Ninth, he became mysteriously the surety of the better covenant, that is, the new covenant, to be the guarantee to man. He shed his blood and died to enact the covenant, and he became the surety of such a covenant in resurrection. Tenth, he became mysteriously the mediator, that is, the executor of the new covenant, as a testament. When Christ was on the earth, he enacted the new covenant through his death and left this new covenant as a testament or will to his believers. Then he resurrected and ascended to the heaven to be the executor of the testament that he enacted and left to his believers, executing upon us all the bequests of the new covenant, such as the effectiveness of his all-inclusive death, his resurrection and power, his divine life, and the law of life to be our supply and enjoyment. 11th, he became mysteriously the minister of the true tabernacle in the heavens, ministering heaven into us. In other words, he ministers to all the believers the heavenly life and the divine and rich heavenly supply. 12th, he became mysteriously our advocate with the Father, pleading for us. Before the righteous God, he became our advocate, pleading for us that the interrupted fellowship between God and us may be recovered. 13th, he became mysteriously the high priest, interceding for us and saving us to the uttermost. 14th, he became mysteriously the Son of Man as the high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstands, the churches. He is our high priest, caring for the churches in his humanity. 15th, heaven will retain him until he comes to be the bridegroom to marry his bride, his overcomers, and to set up his kingdom and reign with his overcomers. 16th, he became the mysterious Lamb of God as the center of the New Jerusalem in eternity. In the new heaven and new earth in eternity, the New Jerusalem is the eternal habitation of the triune God with us, the redeemed people. It is the center. Its center is the Lamb on the throne. God is a mystery, and the mystery of God is Christ. This Christ is the mysterious Word of God, taking on the form of flesh and passing through human living in his humanity with his mysterious divinity. He was crucified, accomplishing the all-inclusive and mysterious death, resurrected, and ascended to the heavens. This totality of what Christ is, what he has done, all that he has passed through, and all that he has attained, obtained, and established constitute the story of the mystery of God. May this mysterious story of God become our subjective knowledge and our practical living.